Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Minutes past 8 o'clock. It's Wednesday morning, March the 24th. Good morning, everybody. I'm Scott Micklin, and thank you for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air here in San Juan County, New Mexico, 103.3 FM over the air in Durango, Colorado, and streaming everywhere from our website, ksje.com. Welcome also to our viewers this morning who are watching this visual radio program. The video is streaming live to the KSJE YouTube channel, our Facebook page, and our Twitter account. So we're glad that you are with us too this morning, everyone. Coming up in the next few moments, we'll be talking with Aztec Schools, and that is something we want to pass along this morning as well, because Aztec Schools are on a two-hour delay this morning because of the wintry weather that is impacting the area. So just FYI, two-hour delay for Aztec Schools. They are the only school district that we have heard from this morning about any weather delays, but we're keeping track of all of them on our website, of course, at ksje.com. So as I mentioned, Superintendent Kirk Carpenter is my guest this morning. We'll be talking with him in the next few moments. And then, of course, later on this hour, we'll check in with Dr. Mike Hadabaugh from the Encouragement Lab. He is with me every Wednesday at 8:50 a.m. This week is no different. So join us for that coming up later on this hour right here on KSJE. Next hour, Mick Hess is our classical music host, of course. He will take us roving with the arts, playing selections this morning from Shostakovich, a special 90-minute version of Roving with the Arts coming your way today beginning at 9:06 on KSJE. And that takes us to 10:30, and right on Four Corners, our local and regional author program with Tracy Hales-Vass. She'll be speaking with another local author coming up today at 10:30. Don't forget, of course, to connect with us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, or our Instagram page as well. And of course, we always tell you that visual radio can take you places. Let's take you out to just outside our window this morning here at San Juan College, where the temperature is about 30 degrees, and we are expecting, again, some snow throughout the day today in our forecast. But here's a current view outside just a few moments ago at the student housing construction site here on the San Juan College campus. Not too much construction going on this morning, but there are a few folks walking around out there on the construction site. But that is where the new student housing is being built here on the campus of San Juan College. But you can certainly see the snow is falling and certainly accumulating, at least not on the roads, but on the ground. And our weather forecast is calling for scattered rain and snow showers throughout the day today with a high of 42 degrees. There is a winter weather advisory in effect until 6 p.m. tonight. Partly cloudy skies overnight with a low of 28 degrees tonight. Then a chance of rain showers tomorrow with a high of 46 on Thursday. Chance of rain or snow overnight Thursday night. And then on Friday, another chance of rain or snow with a high of 47 before things clear up Friday night with a low of 28 and maybe some partly sunny skies by Saturday with a high of 55 degrees and an overnight low of 29. One other note to pass along this morning, the one-and-done COVID vaccination clinic that was scheduled for the Blanco area today at Blanco Elementary has been canceled because of the bad weather. We want to pass that along so that you know. If you had an appointment, it will be rescheduled, and you can contact Care Drug, which was one of the sponsors of that vaccination event at Blanco Elementary School today. But that event scheduled for today has been canceled because of the weather. All right, without any further ado, let me introduce my guest, because I'm thrilled that he's back in the studio with me this morning. Superintendent Kirk Carpenter is here from the Aztec School District. Welcome back to KSGE.
Thanks, Scott. It's nice to be back over in the studio.
And, right.
Small steps, baby steps. We're all making progress as we move through the pandemic, and we all understand it's not over by any means, and we still have to stay very vigilant about things, but it's absolutely nice to be sitting in the studio with you again.
Thank you. I'm still at arm's length, which is okay.
Absolutely.
You're way over there, and I'm way over here.
We are abiding by the CDC requirements and all the other distancing and all that. So I think we better pass that on, because you never know, people might look and say, what's going on? But we are abiding by that.
And leading by example as per usual.
Right.
So
absolutely.
I'm so glad to have you back. But we've been talking throughout this whole pandemic anyway, remotely. And so it's great to have you back to talk about a lot of things going on with Aztec Schools. First of all, Chris, your two-hour delay because of, you've told me before, a lot of the roads in some of the more far-flung parts of the school district get pretty wintry pretty quick on days like this.
They do, and we made a late call, later than we usually wanted to. I mean, we always try to do it before the buses roll, and it's about 13 minutes before the buses rolled this morning. But that's what happens. It happens in San Juan County. But, you know, Aztec runs a little bit cooler than some of the other areas. We have some of the northern roads we have to worry about, and it was a little bit slushy in town when I talked to the transportation director, which they were out very early this morning, and things just started coming in at the very last minute. So we always like to try to do it as soon as we can, but sometimes it happens, and we're never going to not make a call, even if it's late because of safety, and that's what we did. So we'll go 2 hours, and by then we feel like the streets will be in good shape, and they're probably in better shape now as we speak. But
sure,
the outlying areas and the northern areas always are tough for us, so we just have to make the right decision for our kids and staff, and so that's what we tried to do today.
Well, and always dependent on the storm, too, and today it seemed like the accumulation didn't start until almost it was time for you to make that call.
And that's exactly what happened. It was a storm of perfect storms, and when I say that, that's exactly the situation, as it came in so late. And with that coming in and the timing of it, it wasn't the most conducive to get everything out as soon as we'd like to. But, you know, Mother Nature doesn't operate on our clock. It operates on hers. And we just have to respect that and honor that.
Very good. Well, let's talk a little bit about some other things that are going on. And, of course, there was work going on to find the next superintendent of the Aztec School District, because you have announced your well-deserved retirement at the end of the school year. And so can you give us an update on the search process?
Yeah, they met last night. I don't have details. I was obviously not in the meeting. But they're on track. They're selecting finalists to interview. That's what they did last night. Again, not understanding how many or who at this point.
And this is the school board, not the search committee. They have sent their recommendations to the board?
The search committee was, Dr. Linda Paul, a former superintendent, has actually led the superintendent search and has done a tremendous job. They last night took the finalists, the candidates, looked at all of them and developed the finalist list, and that was in conjunction with the committee.
I see.
Which will be a fairly large committee, as you'd expect, a lot of community members, teachers, admin, staff members that are going to be on this committee, and they'll move forward to April 5th when they'll do interviews of the finalists, and by April 6th, the intent is that a job would be offered and a new superintendent could be announced as early as the 6th. So it's moving along, and it seems to have been a really good process. Anybody who knows Dr. Linda Paul knows that she does things very detailed. She's very competent, obviously the former superintendent in Aztec, so she understands the district. All of that brings great benefit, and for me, it's surreal in many respects, but it's also it's nice to have people that are on the committee and have the type of operation that they've done, because all I want is for the best for that district as we move forward. And I've said it many times, it's going to be a step up. They'll get somebody even better, and I mean that in all honesty. The district's been tremendous, has a lot of great people, so I'm looking forward to how this turns out. But I know it's going to turn out well, because Aztec deserves that, and that's what they'll get. They'll get somebody that'll be right for the job and do great things, and they have a lot of great people to work with.
Right. Well, and so it sounds like in the next couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks at the at the most, we'll be maybe hearing some news out of that effort.
Yes. I mean, it's technically, 2 weeks, I guess, from yesterday or if I'm not mistaken on my dates.
No, I think you're right.
And a decision could be made. And okay. A new superintendent named. And my last day is scheduled for June 30th. Hopefully, and part of the timeline in looking at this was to get somebody on board so we could have, you know, some cross-training, not that they need training on how to do the job, but a lot of just informational sharing of what's going on with the district, where we've been, where we're going. Obviously, a new superintendent brings in a new vision, but it's also important to understand where a district's been and some of the things that are going to be in place, because there are still decisions we have to make. We got a lot of budget decisions we're going to have to make. We have a lot of things we're having to deal with, and those cannot be put on hold. We have to move forward with those. And at the same time, when somebody comes in new, it's not they come in under Kirk Carpenter superintendency. They come in with their own. But there's going to have to be some things established initially to make sure they come in with the smoothest transition possible for the district and for the benefit of the district. And so that's why we set the timeline like we did. And hopefully we'll be able to get somebody in where we can do some, like I said, some sharing, informational sharing, and have them meet with key people and just fully understand where we are. I mean, I've developed a very extensive timeline of all the different things that happen during each month, different, whether it's board meetings or in the state. Because, again, I want nothing more than for Aztec Schools to move forward and keep moving forward. And part of that is making sure it's a smooth transition.
Very good. Well, we'll look forward to hearing the developments as that moves forward. And I think early April is another significant timeline for another reason, and that is the return of most or all of your students to face-to-face learning, right?
That's correct. In fact, next Monday, we will have all of our students back, which will be a tremendous forward step, if you will. You know, I keep coining the term that we're not going back to normalcy. We're going to a forward normal. And I say that because we have so many things we have learned during this time. We have so many things we have benefited even during this harsh pandemic with all the negatives that have been there. But there's also a lot of positive things in the way we've delivered instruction, the way we've had to change our pedagogy, relationships, all those things. And those things cannot be forgotten. We have to move forward. And if education doesn't move forward in the United States, I've said this many times, after what we've gone through, shame on us as educators, because we have had to do things differently. We've had to meet kids in many respects on the terms in which they need to learn with technology. And that doesn't mean that technology can ever replace a teacher. It cannot and will not ever. However, we need to marry the two in a way that has been unlike any time in our history, and allow this to be a step forward for us, and not understanding there's been some learning loss. But as far as how we move forward, we have plenty of opportunity to do great things with education. So we're excited about it, and there's a lot of training that still needs to take place. It's not as easy as what I'm saying, and the amount of work and the hard work that's been going on by teachers and administrators is just, I can't describe it, but is absolutely appreciated, and so we're excited about it.
Sure. Well, and for all those students and absolutely. Their families who have been wanting to get back into the classroom, who haven't maybe done as well with the virtual learning as maybe they had hoped or their parents had hoped, this is a big step.
It's a huge step, because virtual learning is always going to be part of the process. Virtual learning and technology is always going to be something that's important. So you have to sometimes learn by doing things. And it has not been as smooth as anybody would like. It has not been as beneficial. It's been beneficial because of the hard work. But again, you can't replace the face-to-face. You can't replace the social, emotional part of what school's all about for students. And so getting them back, that too, is just as important, honestly, as the academics. Because some of these seniors, they want to try to finish out their year, and they're schooling in what, again, might be called a normal way. It's not going to be normal for them, but we're going to do everything we can to try to make it the best experience the rest of the way out. We have about 10 weeks left of learning because we have an extended calendar, and so we're going to do everything we can to make sure that we provide them with the best academic and social experience that they can for the rest of the time that they're at that high school, because they deserve that and they need it, and the families need it as well.
Sure. And with that being said, though, on the other hand, there have been a lot of students that have maybe excelled with the virtual classroom experience. And that is something that maybe you're going to offer into the future?
It is. And it's very true. There are students that absolutely have excelled. And that's why I'm talking about education changing. The way we deliver education is going to change. We've always looked at it. We're continually making adjustments. The pandemic has forced us to move forward. And it really has. And aside from, again, all the negatives, it's pushed us into doing different things and doing things better. So virtual learning is going to be an option. It has to be an option because there's still going to be families even next August, come school, when it starts, that are still not going to be comfortable. But we need to provide education for them for many reasons. Learning first and foremost. But even as a district with enrollment, you have to look at the numbers and things it does. It totally changes your district. Our enrollment is down 400 kids. And that's not counting all the students on virtual. The virtual learners we're capturing.
Sure.
But that's still a lot of students. And that can have devastating impacts on a district and the way you can do things, your operations. So we need to make sure we're providing avenues for people to reconnect and stay connected within the district, within our school system, with our teaching. We're trying to look at synchronous teaching as much as we can. We're trying to evaluate whether we're going to do this K-12 or just in the secondaries. We've done some surveys with families. We had about a 25% return based on that, you know, which in for surveys is a good return.
Yes.
But based on that, we have information that points us that we need to provide the virtual learning. So currently we're looking at having somebody move from one principal position maybe into that, not creating a new position, to monitor that and help with that overall process. And we're in the beginning steps of that. And I know we're going to be reaching out to other districts because other districts are doing the same thing. And they have some good ideas. So we're going to be sharing as we do so well up here in our Four Corners area and collaborate and see what others might be doing that we might be able to borrow or some things maybe they can borrow from us. But it's definitely going to be something we have to look at and we are looking at. So we just need to continue to plan. We can't wait. We need to continue to plan for that and then make adjustments as it comes. And, you know, stepping out as a superintendent, you make these kind of decisions and then a new superintendent comes in. It's not trying to say, well, good luck with that. I'd never do that. We have a lot of great people who will still be there that can help with it. But it's essential that we do move forward for the benefit of the students in our community.
Right. And so this would be a choice for parents in the fall. Again, still to be determined what grade levels right. We're talking about right. And things along that, but more details to follow.
Yes.
But it sounds like your teachers also would bear a big part of this, too, by being able to teach in person face-to-face, but also have a virtual teaching component for their classes as well.
That's correct. And there's many models out there, whether it's teachers teaching four sections of English and two virtually. And when I say four sections of English, I mean face-to-face and two virtually. That's a model. Another model is taking, because of numbers and trying to maintain staff, is taking an English teacher that would teach all the virtual models. So, again, what we're trying to do is just look at the numbers, try to make the best decision we can, because we're seeing a lot of families come back, and we're seeing a lot of families come back in the elementaries. So as we look at this, we're going to take the survey data, we're going to take the current data, the real-time data, and decide what is the best way to move forward. Is it a K-12 or is it just a 6-12? And then make some decisions. And how do we shuffle staff? How do we shuffle schedules? All of that has to be looked at. And we have to be flexible because that can change. Because in the fall, there may be 200 parents that have decided not to send their kids just at the secondaries, and all of a sudden, 50 of them decide, you know what, I'm sending them back. So because schools are truly the safest places to be. And I hope people understand that. Even if you look at all the evidence and all the data across our country with the pandemic and some of the cases, schools absolutely are still a safe place. So we're just going to have to be flexible, but we have to have a plan. If you don't have a plan in place to adjust, then it's that old saying, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail.
I've heard that before. You're right. And that's what happens many, many times. And so we'll be hearing more about that as as things move forward. And of course, with your teachers. And I was just going to say, after the year that all of educators have had over the past 12 months, it seems like putting a plan together like this is a piece of cake, even though I say that flippantly, but it's not true. But by being able to go online with a two-week notice and doing all the things that your staff and your teachers have done in the last 12 months, I mean, this is just, I mean, they should be fairly used to it by now, but there's still a lot of little nitty-gritty details that need to be worked out.
Definitely. But
they're up to the challenge, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
They are. What I love about our staff and I love about what I've seen across our state here and everywhere in the county is, you know, teachers have taken the challenges and turned them into opportunities. And I know that's something we always echo to our staff. Let the challenges and obstacles become opportunities to do great things for kids. And that's what they've done. not easy. The teachers, they're tired. They've worked very, very hard this year. But, you know, the families, too, have gone through a lot. So we've all gone through it. So literally when I put out my little cliche-ish sayings about we are all in this together, we truly are. And it's going to take all of us. And it's going to take all of us as we continue on to the rest of this school year and next year. And the partnerships between families and schools is at an all-time high. We cannot let that go away. You know, sometimes things happen. We can't control those things, but they shape the way things should be, and they shape the future. And that's what we need to let happen in this case. Take the positives and use those things and learn from all the other things that didn't work so well. And that's what we need to do. And, you know, yes, I'm an optimistic person. You know, the glass is always half full, but even if it's empty, you can fill it back up. So that's what we need to do in this situation. And our staff has done that, the community's done that, and we just need to continue it and understand that the flexibility and showing grace, all the things I've said before, still need to exist.
Right. Well, and they have risen to the occasion before.
Yes.
And there's no reason to think they can't do it again.
Absolutely.
Everyone, from teachers to families to kids to your administration.
Yeah. And, and like I said, even the community. I mean, without fail, if I can't again say thank you to all of our first responders and all those people, and, you know, from medical to the people that they're dealing with, the frontline stuff, if those people have been incredible and an inspiration to all of us, because you can't imagine what they've gone through. I can't imagine it either. But I want to take time to make sure we say thank you to them as well, because we're not through this and it's not over. We don't know what's still coming. However, there's a lot of things we've learned, and we're equipped to deal with it. And I think that's the most important thing that people need to understand as well. But again, thank you to all those hardworking frontline people.
Indeed. Very true. And the other thing I wanted to ask you about, Mr. Carpenter, was a change to the school calendar, which is happening this school year and probably will continue, to try to make up for some of that lost learning, I think, that you mentioned earlier, just to keep kids in that instructional environment, to really try to help them from this, I think we can all agree, has been a really crazy year.
We are extending our calendar. We did this year. We went 10 extra days. We're going to keep the same type of calendar next year with extended learning. Part of the program, it's an extending learning time program is what it's called, and we're opting to do that. We truly understand how hard teachers are working. We're not trying to take summer vacations away from students. We're not trying to do any of that. What we are trying to do is walk the talk, that if improving student learning for all students is the most important thing we do, then we need to capture as much time as we can with our students. And given the situations we've been through over the last year and a half, it's more imperative and more important now than ever before. So again, all things are considered. The calendar has not been approved yet by the board, but we are looking at taking it back to the board in April to get it approved. But the true intention of it is education and the foundational skills, especially for our younger students, are so key. And we've lost a lot of that. And you do not get better at doing something by doing less. You get better by doing the right things that are targeted towards the skills that kids need. And even those 2 weeks of more time will give us the opportunity to do exactly that. You aren't going to make up a year's time. But you don't have any opportunity if you continue to do the same things. We already have a lot of instructional time in our district, a lot of instructional hours. We surpass all the state requirements. But again, having 2 weeks, one at the beginning, one at the end, stretches out the semesters and gives you time to specifically spend in the middle of semester, if you want to, a week just doing what I call boot camp, targeting every individual that has different skill deficits and addressing those. And so that's why we're doing it. We feel like it's very important. And again, but we honor the hard work of teachers and all they're doing. We're not trying to do anything punitive to them. But truly what we're trying to do is enhance the educational experience for all of our students, because there's a lot of things that have happened and we need that time to try to help our students.
And so just to be clear, this would be a one-week extension at the end of this current school year?
Yes. It's already, this year we've already had it in place.
Right.
We started earlier this year than most districts, and we're ending June 4th, I think, this year. Next year, it's a very similar schedule.
Starting earlier, one
starting
week earlier,
early, yes.
And going 1 week later,
right,
for a total of two extra weeks.
Than what some districts may be doing. Mm-hmm. And we value and honor the other districts' decisions. Everybody has something, everybody has their own story. Everybody has their own resources. For us, we feel like this is the most benefit, and it's important. So that's why we're doing it. But it's a very similar calendar to what we did last year. We extended it, or this school year, I should say. So next year's will be very similar.
And the state certainly has allowed the district to do this, given the option to the local districts in the state, correct?
Yes, and what I will say about that is there was a bill that would have forced all districts to do this. However, they've given some leniency on you to opt in. So the legislature's made it very clear that extending the school year is on their agenda. This year, it was very close to being passed to make everybody do it. And in the future, I absolutely predict that it's not going to be an option. So that's another consideration we're looking at is, instead of shortening the calendar this year, the next year, do we have to lengthen, you know, the following school year after next school year, lengthen it again? We're doing it for the right reasons, and that's learning. However, all these other things come into play. But the legislature's made it very clear that they want a longer school year, not longer school days, but longer school year to provide more education to our students. You know, we all understand, whether we agree or disagree, where New Mexico ranks in education. And I would fight tooth and nail to say I don't agree with that. However, I go back to the statement that if we have all these factors that show us what we need to do to improve learning and how we can do it, it behooves us not to take advantage of more time, as long as that time is purposeful and targeted. And so that is our focus. And we did that this year. We'll continue to do that. We're basing those decisions off data on what we need to do with those extra weeks and trying to do the best thing we can for our kids. But if you have things that are coming to you saying that education is at this level in New Mexico, then you're not taking advantage of these things as our district. And again, not saying what other districts are doing because they have other resources and other opportunities to do things. Then to me, we're not doing what's in the best interest of our students at all levels. And so that's why we're making this decision.
Got you. Now, I would think that this would affect your teacher contracts or things along that line, and so those will be adjusted, and there's additional, I guess, compensation. If your teachers are working longer hours, instructional hours, right, wouldn't that go into that?
It absolutely does, and it's all paid for. It's just extending it, and they'll be paid at their regular salaries. We have to extend some even support staff salaries. But all of that is going to be covered and paid for. And the legislature, again, they're committed to putting that money in there for that specific reason and that specific purpose. So, yes, we're not going to ask our teachers to work more and get paid less. Absolutely not. You know, we all know that educators are not paid where they need to be because of the value and the importance of education and laying the foundation for all careers. That's another show.
That's another show. Yes. That's right.
But so yes, it'll be paid for, and
just want to make that clear.
Yes, I'm glad you did, because some people say we're going to work more and not get paid. No, they're going to get compensated for what they do.
Very good. Just a couple minutes remaining this morning, Mr. Carpenter, and I wanted to ask you, looking ahead to graduation, which I know it's a fluid situation, but you are making plans in a couple of different scenarios for your seniors from both Aztec High School and Vista Nueva, I would assume. So can you give us an update on how things are looking or what you're planning for right now?
Yes. I mean, there's nothing official from the state. The guidance hadn't come out, but we are planning for face-to-face graduations. That's our first plan. We understand, too, with that there's going to be limits on how many people can attend, even if we're into turquoise, which I would expect us, as the way our county's doing some great things with testing. There's testing going on.
Right.
All the other positive things that we've been doing, we need to continue. But even if we're in turquoise, there's going to be limits. And so we're going to plan. We're going to plan for that. We're going to plan if we're in green. And then obviously there's other limits if you're in yellow and whether you're using an indoor facility or outdoor facility. Because if you're in indoors, if you're in yellow, you can't have any spectators or any participants inside. So we're planning for all of that. And our backup plan is to do something we did like last year with virtual. We did a drive-through in both places, Vista Nueva, and you guys were an integral part, which we absolutely appreciate all the hard work you guys had and contributing to it last year, making a positive experience. So we have two plans in place. And again, I go back to put the plans in place and adjust, because we may be turquoise and all of a sudden get to May and something happens and we drop and we'll have to make adjustments. But right now we're trying to plan for a face-to-face. That's our first option. That's always been what we wanted to do, but we will always, always follow what we have to from the state and abide by the rules that they push forward. And we're waiting to see what kind of guidance they're going to give us, but we're optimistic that we're going to be able to do something face-to-face. Nothing's set in stone yet.
Right.
I want to make that clear. But
and
that's
could
our first plan. Absolutely.
And it could certainly change. But it sounds like that you can plan for maybe an in-person, face-to-face. I know a lot of your students last year really wanted that walk across the stage moment, like every senior does and deserves to have. And maybe have an audience, a limited audience in person if you can do it, and maybe still do a virtual for the out-of-town grandmas and grandpas to yes. see it virtually, which we haven't done before this last year, at least in many cases.
Right, and that's exactly our plan. And again, we have to wait to get clearance and see if that's what the state agrees to do. But we want to plan that first because we want the best for our students as everybody does. And the public education department does too. I mean, there's obviously things that have to take place between now and then and continue on the right trends with cases and case numbers and all the other things we're doing. I'm going to keep reiterating that because when things get better, you have to get better at what you're doing. It's not the opposite. It's not like, okay, we can relax this. When we start relaxing, that's when, as a coach, I used to tell our kids, when you start relaxing, if you have the lead, they're going to come back on you. Same thing with this. We cannot relax. We have to be more vigilant with all those things. And so, again, that's what we're planning, and we'll make some adjustments if we need to. But we need to start planning that. We have been working on it and need to put it in full gear and get everything planned out for these students because nothing is more special than students walking across a stage at the culmination of 13 years. And we did all we could last year to make it a special event, but it's not the same, and we know that. And so that's what we're going to plan for our students until we get told we can't.
Very good. Good to hear the plans are in the works for sure for your students, and that's important. One final thought as a former coach, I won't say old coach, but former coach.
Thank you.
Seeing your athletes back on the field, it's got to be a good feeling.
It is, and it's been good for the athletes. It's been good for the coaches. It's been good for families and being able to go attend. When you're hit with, whether it's devastating news or devastation such as what was happening with the pandemic, what people need is hope. And hope comes in kids putting on uniforms, kids getting back in school, families being able to go and see their kids doing things that they enjoy. It's all baby steps. And again, we have to be careful on how we take these steps. But that's where hope is. It's not a strategy. It never will be. But it provides you opportunity to see things improving. And it's going to help our students both socially, emotionally, and give them, again, what high school is all about. And there's still some things we still have to work on as far as like band and choir, getting some of those things done. But we're trying to do some things within the regulations to make that happen for those students as well. But yes, it brings a big smile and almost makes you want to break down emotionally when you see those types of things happening. And, we're going to have a big football game we've been playing, but we have a big one this Friday night with Bloomfield. And they're doing a special veterans, honoring the veterans. And so all those things don't happen unless we have opportunity. So, and we appreciate the hard work of Sally Marcus, the executive director of the NMAA, and all her staff and the board in making this happen because they've been tremendous advocates. But we're moving forward with that as well. And again, it's all progress. And we just need to keep doing the right things so we can continue the progress and keep moving forward.
Right. More of these baby steps, as you mentioned, and more of these things reminding us that we didn't know what we were going to miss until we missed them.
That's right. And it makes you appreciate it. So let's appreciate it. And let's be thankful for what we have, not what we don't right now. And let's work to get the things that we all want. And again, the forward normal.
Very true. Kirk Carpenter, thank you so much for coming over this morning and visiting with me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure. And again, people may not see it, but I know I feel it. Just being able to sit here in this booth again, as much as we have progress going on in school, this is something that means a lot to me in my heart. And because it is progress. And so very elated to be here.
Well, great to have you back. And we'll see you again next month.
I'll be here.
All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.
Kirk Carpenter, Superintendent of Schools, Aztec School District, my guest here on KSJE. Back with more in just a moment, everybody. The time is 8:44. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.